In a few days, it'll be 5 weeks that my wife and I have been up here. Man, it's amazing how fast time flies. Gerald, that's how you know how long you've been married. We started out in Current for 2 weeks, then I had the time of coming over here and getting to fellowship with you with the conference, which I must say we truly enjoyed. As always, it's great to get together and gather together as Christians, just to have a time of fellowshipping with one another, encouraging one another. We've been up to Governor's Harbor and Palmetto Point for 5 services up there. As some of you know, and I'm sure most of you are praying for the week of meetings we had to the Current, the gospel services last week. At one night we had a total of 34 people out, and we had over 50 different people out. So that's almost half the, I think that's over half of the population of Current. So the Lord truly blessed, and we know once we leave His word there, He'll take care of saving the souls. It's our job just to deliver it. We can't save. It's only His Spirit that can convict and bring them to Him. And then we have a few services to Tarpon Bay Wednesday and Sunday. And then we'll be leaving on Monday. We value your prayers very much. And we just thank you that we've had the privilege of coming here tonight. And then also times of sharing and spending time together. Tonight as I was sitting home in one of the many homes across in the apartment, my mind thought about the difference that Jesus Christ makes in our life, the change that He makes. How many of you are glad to know Jesus? Amen. And I thought about a message I spoke quite a while ago, but it talks about 3 things Jesus gives us that the world cannot give to us. And tonight I want us to look at 3 of His miracles, and in each one of those miracles we see something Jesus supplies us with that we could not have without Him. The first one is in Mark chapter 5. If we could turn there, we'll start our reading in verse 22. I told someone last night, I can, no problem getting up to preach in front of 1,000 people, but you put me in a room with only 5 people, and if it's another preacher there, I get nervous. Now, most of the time I've either got Brother Frank or Brother Ludi here, and I thought, well, both of them's gone. Now I see Brother Lidstead's here tonight, so I'll stay behind this pulpit to keep the knees from knocking. Chapter 5 of Mark, starting in verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and many people followed him, and flocked him. Verse 35. While he yet spoke, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain who said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter, and James, and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and those who wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. And when he had put them all out, he taketh the father, and the mother of the damsel, and those who were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly, that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given to her to eat. The first miracle we see here, Jesus raising this little daughter who belongs to the ruler of the synagogue. And we learn from this, first of all, the first thing Jesus Christ supplies us with is hope. And without Jesus, there is no real hope. There is no true hope. This world tries to offer us hope in many different forms, in many different areas. But what it all boils down to is our hope is in Jesus. And once we're saved, we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Father, Jesus Christ. And once we're saved, we have something to hope for. And we have a hope that doesn't disappoint. This man, a ruler of the synagogue, came to Jesus because he had a little girl which was laying at the point of death. And all that he had as a ruler of the synagogue couldn't help that little girl. All of the laws, all the ceremonies that he practiced, all the special fasts that he went through, and the different feast days that they proclaimed, that didn't help his little girl one bit. Pure religion just can't help us today. We need Jesus. And they had probably tried everything in their arsenal, but that little girl still laid there at the point of death with a disease in her that was slowly killing her. Every one of us are full of that same disease called sin. And that same disease is carrying us to our death. And we could try all of our different religious practices that we want, but there still would be no hope for us. Except through Jesus. This man recognized that Jesus could help him out. And he went to Jesus and he carried his situation to Jesus. And so Jesus went with him. In the middle there we have the short narrative about the woman with the issue of blood, describing Jesus' power, how she just touched the hem of his garment and she was healed. But in that time the little girl had died. And a servant came and said, "Don't trouble the master anymore, the girl is already dead." They didn't realize that Jesus had the power over death, over hell, over the grave. That he had complete control over every situation. And that Jesus could still provide hope to this little girl. Every one of us are spiritually dead, but yet Jesus Christ can supply hope for us. He told the man, "You just have to have faith. Believe that I can take care of your problem." Man obviously had faith because him and Jesus continued on to the house. He didn't turn him around. He didn't say, "No, just forget it and get out of here. I don't need your help anymore." A lot of people in the world are saying that today. A lot of people are saying, "You know, Jesus, it's nice what you can do, but I'll try it on my own. I'll try what I can do by myself." This man realized his need of faith in Jesus Christ. And he had faith in him. What did Jesus do? When he approached the house, he turned out all the mockers, all the ones who were laughing, all the ones who were making fun. He reached down. He called out to that little girl, touched her, and she arose, providing hope out of a hopeless situation. Jesus gives us that spiritual life, that new life. And the only hope of everlasting life comes through Jesus Christ. It's something that should encourage us day in and day out as Christians. As Christians, as the world tries to bring us down, the world tries to discourage us, we can realize that we have a living hope in our Savior. The one who watches out over us. The one who takes care of us. The one who's there with us every step of the way. He provides us hope for our everyday situations. This man came to Jesus with sorrow in his heart. The sorrow grew even deeper as he heard about the condition of his daughter. But his sorrow was turned to joy. That's what should happen to us as Christians. Our sorrow can be turned to joy. That sadness can be turned to happiness because we have hope. Because we have a reason to go on. We have a reason to continue. We have a reason to press forward. We have a reason to run the race. We're not in this life just to be born, live a normal life and die. We have something greater waiting for us. And all of us have a specific purpose and a specific job here on this earth to do. God made us the way we are for a reason. He has something for every one of us, a plan that he wants every one of us to fulfill. Every one of us are called to be missionaries in one aspect or another. Some have been called to leave their homes as we've been praying for tonight and we've been thinking about tonight. We thank the Lord for them because somebody had to be a missionary and come out here the first time. Someone had to decide to leave their homes and come to the Bahamas. And we're saved because somebody decided to reach out to us. He leaves us with the same idea of us reaching out to others and giving them and sharing with them the same hope that we have. That all of our plans don't have to end at the grave. We can store up riches throughout the endless ages of eternity. And what we do in this life can last. It's not going to disappear at death. Some of us say, man, I can't do so and so. Not like this person or not like that person. We know if we give just a cup of cold water in His name, we shall receive a reward. Jesus Christ said, whoever receives a prophet is going to receive a prophet's reward. If you take hospitality to a preacher, to a missionary, you give to someone who's in need, you're going to receive the same reward that they're getting. If we provide them with hope, the same hope that Jesus provided us with. But without Him, this world offers us absolutely no hope. That's the difference Jesus can make, first of all, in our life. John chapter 2, we see the second thing He offers us. Illustrated in Jesus' first miracle, the turning of the water into wine. In John chapter 2, we're going to read the first 10 verses and read this wonderful, miraculous story. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. And when they lack wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto Him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatever He saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And He saith unto them, draw some out now, and bear it unto the governor of the feast, and they bore it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not from where it was, but the servants who drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, than that which is worse, that thou hast kept the good wine until now. The second thing that Jesus offers us that the world cannot give us is real happiness. First of all, He offers us hope for everlasting life. And now in this life and throughout the endless ages to come, He offers us happiness. We see a wonderful picture here of the world trying to provide its own happiness. First of all, the picture of a wedding. Everybody's happy at a wedding. Very seldom do you see somebody come into a wedding sad or upset. Now, you may see some tears shed, but most of those are tears of gladness, tears of joy. I guess the only person you might see sad is that jealous boyfriend sitting down in the back wishing he had her. But a wedding is a time of happiness. From the minute the couple is engaged, everybody shares the happiness with them that they're going to start a new life together, that the two are going to become one. Everybody comes that can come to the ceremony and witnesses their great day. Passing on to the time of reception, there are refreshments, there are other congratulations, and everyone is happy. But the problem is, the happiness comes to an end. It stops. And soon, that couple goes on to live their life and go through their own problems, go through their own situations that they have to deal with. And everyone returns back to life as normal. The second thing we see here as a picture of the world's happiness is wine. Our brother said that in this prayer about people trying to find their answer in a bottle. Well, some people are trying to find happiness in a bottle today. Some people get so upset about something happening in life and they grab the bottle, and as someone once told me, when you drink that night, you feel like you're on top of the world, but the problem is the next morning it feels like the world's on top of you. And that happiness comes to an end. And we see a picture here of how the wine ran out. All that the world can offer us to make us happy will come to an end at some time or another. Think about all you've ever strived for in your life. All you've ever wanted. All you've ever reached out for. From when you were a little child up until now. When you achieved one thing, we weren't satisfied. We wanted more. When we achieved that, we weren't satisfied. We wanted more. Nothing could truly make us happy. May it started out, you know, I want to get such and such a job, making such and such amount of money. Time progresses and we get the job that we want. We get the money that we want. Some people may say, well, I want a family. I want a wife and children. We get a wife. We get children. I want to be able to go on the best vacations anywhere I want to go. We achieve that. I want a bigger house, more room. We achieve that. I want a better vehicle or an extra vehicle or a new boat or something or another. And we get that. But the problem is we still want more and more and more. We're never satisfied with what we have. The rain's a perfect example. Don't have no rain. Everybody's on their knees. Lord, please send us rain. A lot of people, after the rain comes, by the end of the day, it's, now you can't do nothing for the sake of the rain. Just aren't satisfied with whatever the Lord gives us. No matter what we have, we're never satisfied in this world. But Jesus can offer us real happiness. And notice here, the wine ran out, and Mary knew where to go. She didn't go down the store to try buy some more. She went to Jesus. She took the problem to Him. She said, Son, here's the problem. We don't have any more wine. She didn't tell Him what to do. She didn't tell Him, you know, the best thing to do would be to turn that water into wine, or to just say abracadabra and let the wine appear. She just turned the problem over to Him and let Him handle it. When problems arise in our life, let's just do that. Take it off our backs and throw it to Jesus. He says, cast all your cares upon Me, because He cares for us. We get on our knees so many times and we say, Lord, I've got this problem, I've got that problem, I've got this other problem. Will You take care of them? We give them to Jesus. When we get off our knees and start to go, we say, wait, Lord, give Me some of them back. I got to worry about them a little bit more. Put them back on My shoulder. Let Me bear them some more, rather than leaving it with Him. But Mary left it with Him. But it took faith on the part of the servants. Jesus told the servants, fill the water pots with water. Well, that was bad enough. 6 water pots, which is, each one of them was about the size of a 55-gallon drum, if you want to know what 2 or 3 firkins a piece is. Fill them up with water, He said. Imagine they had to drop the bucket down into the well how many times to get that full. They couldn't just turn on a spigot like we do today. Maybe these servants are going, I don't know what this loony fool is trying to do to us, but anyway, let's do what he says. Then if that wasn't enough, they say, Jesus says, take it and carry it to the governor of the feast, the man in charge. Basically, Jesus was saying, take this water to your boss. And they might have said, take this water to my boss? I will be having no job come tomorrow if I take this water to him. Everybody serves wine. Man, both of us will be out of work if we carry this water to him. But they didn't bother to say that. They took the water, just as Jesus commanded them. What do you think their faces looked like when they saw it turn to wine? Whereabout did they turn to wine? I always wonder. Did it turn into wine when they were dipping it out and starting to pour it in the cups? It might have. Maybe as they started to walk and entered into the house, it turned to wine. Maybe it didn't turn into wine until they reached the governor of the feast. And their faces lit up. Maybe they didn't even know. And it didn't change into wine until the governor of the feast put it up to his lips. But notice he said that this was the best wine. And Jesus always gives us the best. Yes, the world provides a little bit of happiness that's going to fade here and there. But what Jesus provides is the best. It's greater than all the rest. And when Jesus provides us real joy and happiness, it should never fade. Christians should never walk around with long faces. A lot of people see these Christians, these long faces, and say, if that's what being a Christian is like, man, I don't want it. But we've got a reason to be happy above and beyond everybody else. Just think, we've got heaven waiting for us. Prepared for us. There's no ifs, there's no maybes, there's no might be's. It's there. It's guaranteed to every one of us. We're assured that heaven is prepared for us. Because Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many, many mansions. There's a place prepared with every one of your names on it once we come to know Him as Savior. You know, I wonder how those people who think that they can lose their salvation or think they have to earn their way to heaven, how they manage every day. How they could have real joy. Are they on their knees? Every minute, every couple minutes, confessing each little sin. There's no more joy in their life. And we know when joy goes, our strength goes, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the strength we need to fight and battle every day is the joy that Jesus provides us with. The happiness that He gives to us. The song we sing, count your many blessings, name them one by one. I don't know if I've run into anybody yet who's been able to put them all down on paper, who's been able to count all of them. Because no matter what situation you run into, we've all been blessed. You go halfway around the world and you see Christians that are suffering, that are being persecuted, and they still go on to tell you about how happy they are. About how glad they are to know Jesus. And they'll tell you that they can't even count their blessings. And we've been given so much more. We've been blessed with so much more, yet we take it all for granted. We don't even realize what we have before us. A lot of people can't gather in a building like this, not only without air conditioning. A lot of them have to hide. A lot of them, when they gather, don't know whether someone's going to break in any minute and carry them away into prison. A lot of them don't have the Bible. One person may have an old patched together part of it that they read from, but they're happy with what they have. Yet we have the opportunity to gather here so many times. Sunday, several times. Monday night, there's youth group. Tuesday night, there's prayer meeting. Thursday night, there's another youth service. Other different times, there's other special activities going on. And we take them for granted. We say, oh, well, I don't know if I could go to church tonight. Maybe later on in the week. Let's enjoy what Christ has given to us and experience that real happiness that He's given to us. The last one is in Matthew chapter 12. The third thing that Jesus gives us. And I'm sure we could probably think of many, many more. But these three really stick out. He's given us hope. He's given us happiness. And in Matthew chapter 12, we're going to read verses 9 through 13. Matthew 12, 9 through 13. And when He was departed from there, He went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had his hand withered. And they asked Him, saying, is it lawful to eat on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse Him? And He said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into the pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold of it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath days. Here's the key verse. And He said to the man, stretch forth thine hand. and he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like the other. Without Jesus, there can be no healing. First of all, we think of physical healing. And we've gathered here tonight and lifted up a lot of names for physical healing. And you know, it's only through the power of Jesus Christ that everyone is healed physically. Whether they're sinners, whether they're saints, God allows them to be healed. He allows the doctors to be able to operate properly. He allows the medicine to take place. He gives every one of us every beat of our heart, every breath in our lungs. He supplies to every person. And of course, I think about physical healing, but tonight I'm especially thinking about spiritual healing, emotional healing. Jesus is the only one who can provide this. A lot of Christians tonight are battling depression, other problems of the mind. They're having doubts. The devil is attacking them. Some are harboring sin. They can't seem to fight the temptation. We're reminded that we cannot defeat it in our own strength. We need Jesus. Those four words, what he said to this man, stretch forth thine hand, speak a great message to each one of us. Because I imagine this man who had this withered hand, I don't know if he was born with it. I don't know if he got messed up in a fire or some sort of accident, but he tried to keep it hidden so no one else would notice it. I used a quick illustration. I don't know if any of you have noticed I've got something wrong with one of my fingers. One of my fingernails, I almost, 6 weeks before we got married, almost lost part of one of my fingers, got caught in the gears of a cement mixer. The joint, the bones in the last joint, the doctor in Marshall felt and said were crushed. Told me to fly out to Florida. And we got there, I believe the Lord did amazing healing. And they took x-ray and it was absolutely perfect. But if you ever notice, sometime, it's a little bit deformed. But I've noticed a tendency in myself to hide it. Not let people see it. And I imagine that's what this man did. He tried to hide his hand. He tried to hide his weakness from everyone else. Because what would happen if everybody saw his hand? They would not remember him for who he was. If his name was Jim, they'd never remember him as Jim. They'd remember him as the man with the withered hand. The man with the bad hand. They'd never remember his personality. They would never, never remember what type of trade he was in. They would never remember the good things he had done in his life. They would only remember his problem. They would only remember his weakness. But Jesus said to him, stretch forth your hand. What must have went through his mind as he started to pull his hand out? What is everyone going to say? What is everyone going to think? What are the looks of their on their faces going to be like? But nevertheless, he stretched his hand out, and when he looked, it was just like the other one. It was the same as the other one. Jesus had healed it. If we want our problems to be healed, we have to reveal them to Jesus. We can't harbor them inside. We may be scared. What if someone else learns about it? That's all they're going to remember me by. What if someone else hears about my mistakes? They're never going to remember the good that I did. Yeah, we human beings have that problem. We always forget the good. And we remember the bad. But Jesus says, you just take and turn your problems over to me. You let me know about them and I'll take care of them. Stretch out your weakness to me. Is this the devil tempting you? Does the temptation feel too strong? You can't overcome it? Tell me about it. Ask for my strength. Ask for my help. Don't try fight it on your own, because you'll only lose. But we're encouraged by that verse, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And Jesus can defeat any temptation we're going through. Are we battling an emotional problem? Been down in the dumps lately? Seem like there just seems to be no reason to get up and to push, and there's no motivation. Turn the problem over to Christ and ask Him to lift us up. Ask Him to spiritually, emotionally heal us. Because without Jesus, there is no healing. And tonight, may you just be encouraged by those three thoughts of the difference Jesus makes in our lives. The three things He gives us the world cannot. He gives us hope. He gives us happiness. And He gives us healing. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank You for Jesus Christ. We thank You for His gift of salvation that was manifested at the cross. The work was completed there. We thank You that He provides for us. He gives us hope. Hope for eternal life. Hope past this world. We thank You for the happiness that Jesus Christ gives us. That we have a reason to be joyful, a reason to get excited because we're saved and we're going to heaven. We're not going to hell. We also thank You, Heavenly Father, that Jesus can provide healing for us. That He can help us with each and every problem. We thank You for the time gathered here tonight. We ask that You would bless every moment that we've spent together. We pray that Your words, whether coming from the Bible itself, coming through hymns or through prayers, that they have been an encouragement to each one gathered out. Pray that You would continue to strengthen each one. Be with them as they go to their separate homes. We thank You that they made the effort to be here. We ask that You would bless them for this effort. We turn over everything in our lives to You now. Help us to be greater servants for You. We think of the stories of the missionaries. Help us to be a missionary in whatever way You've called us. We realize that You say to go. You never say stay. Even in our Bahama Islands, there are mission fields in our backyards. We think right across the way to the island of Eleuthera, there are churches that are struggling there, Christians that need encouragement. Throughout all Bahama Islands, wherever we see a church, there seems to be a barroom close by. Help us to reach out to those people and to show them the Savior. We thank You once again. We ask all these things in Your Son's name. Amen.